As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshay, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshay is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
Just a Thought by James T. Deshaies. There is never a perfect time to step out on faith. It would always require risking the safety of where you are at that very moment. But one will never be completely happy when their dreams are not being reached. The higher the dreams, the greater the risk. When the right opportunity makes itself available, you have to close your ears to the naysayers and move forward beyond your dreams. Visit WealthDaddySystem.com. That's www.WealthDaddySystem.com. WealthDaddySystem.com. Push yourself beyond your fears, and you'll reach your dreams.
Bye.
James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know, I'm happy to be here with you and have this opportunity to talk about what's going on in our world and how it impacts us now and in the future. Cheryl, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm doing fine. Cheryl, let me just ask you, how is the weather in your area right now? I know that in Texas, the weather is very bad. How is it impacting you right now?
Right now, we're just getting a lot of rain. And I can't, that's all I can tell you from the phone, because I don't have a TV to see what the weather is doing. Whenever there's an alert, you know, I get an alert on my phone to let me know what's going on. But I do have something on it, you know, as far as the weather. And so far we're going to be getting plenty of rain. And we have rain right now in our area, and I'm in Holden.
Yeah, you know, it's really terrible. Here in Florida, you know, we're inundated by bad weather and hurricanes on and off. And it always seems to me that our hurricanes and bad weather always come at nightfall when you can't see. And that terrifies me, is when you have bad weather and it's in complete darkness and you're not able to see what the wind is doing. You just hear a lot of loud noises and trees moving around. And it seems like it always happens in the middle of the night. What are your thoughts related to bad weather and what you already experienced a number of years ago?
I was in Slidell, Louisiana, which is right there across the lake from New Orleans. And we got a lot of water as well, you know, from the hurricane. And we had to evacuate. And when they said evacuate, I evacuated. So I didn't go through, you know, only the after effects of it, meaning when I came back, we were living in a rental home, and we had trees that.
We lost you for a little while, Cheryl. Are you still there? We had some difficulty hearing Cheryl. I'm not sure if it's the weather or what is precluding us from hearing her. Are you there, Cheryl? You know, it's really important that, you know, as we go through these things, and we hope that our families out there in the Texas area are able to. Are you back with us, Cheryl?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. 18-wheeler. The water came all the way up to its headlights on our street last August. So it was you know, the water is not.
Yeah, we're having some difficulty hearing our conversation with Cheryl.
Can you hear me?
I hear you now, yes, Cheryl.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but when they say evacuate. Take them serious all the time. Even if nothing happens, evacuate, because the water is nothing to play with.
Well, sure. Yeah. Why do you think so many people don't heed the warning and find themselves having to be rescued?
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, in New Orleans, a lot of people depended on public transportation. So a lot of people didn't have transportation to leave. And that's why a lot of people stayed there in New Orleans. Now, other people who stayed, because we always had these threats, you know, a hurricane, and we really never had the effect of the hurricane like we did with Hurricane Katrina. And they found themselves, you know, being trapped because they just didn't take heat. Whether it was going to be leaving for a couple of days and coming back or whatever it was going to be, they just didn't leave. And some people are so consumed with things, they don't want to leave their home, saying boarding it up and, you know, taking the necessary precautions with the sandbags and all of that is going to protect them. And it's not. And, I mean, those are just sayings. I always say just leave, because I know if they said it was coming my way, I would leave in a heartbeat. Yeah.
Now, how were the highways in terms of you being able to get where you could for safety? Was it difficult to maneuver the highways with everyone trying to get out of the area?
I think the way that I was going, it pretty much was, it was pretty consistent, you know, just a flow of traffic. It didn't get jam-packed until time got later when people prolonged leaving. But like I said, it was me and my son. We left with some church members, and we just drove as far as Alabama and got a hotel there. And then just listen to everything, you know, that was going on. But I think as it got later, it got more difficult to leave. But we didn't wait till the last minute to leave.
Now, how was your experience related to how the government handled everything? Because what we saw in New Orleans were people who did not get enough water, who weren't getting enough medical attention, who, you know, what we heard about people actually be, you know, dying as they waited for assistance. What are your thoughts related to how our government responded to that tragedy?
Responded fast enough for them. You know, being in those close quarters at the Superdome and people not being able to, you know, have water, medical attention, no food, babies, no places, not enough places to go to the restroom. I mean, it was awful. It really, really was awful. And then once they were able to get back in the city, they still just didn't act fast enough, you know, for the people that were there, because we couldn't come back in the city for a while because they were, you know, the roads were blocked with trees and electrical poles and everything down. So it was a while, maybe almost a week, before we could even get back in the city to even assess, you know, the damages where we were. But the ones who were there, most everybody was at the Superdome, and it was just too many people. Because like I said, a lot of people depend on public transportation, and there were not buses, you know, they didn't have buses busing them out, which the city has buses. I mean, they could have done something more than what they, you know, what they did. And I mean, I think that a lot of unnecessary lives were lost. I know somebody just settling a lawsuit because they didn't move the family members out of a nursing home. They left them there. And as a result, you know, they wound up dying. So it was just careless, you know, things on a lot of people's part. And it was not enough assistance, immediate assistance, should I say.
So do you think we'll respond better this time? It seems that the storm has a lot of flooding going on in Texas, and hopefully, you know, what are your thoughts in terms of after the government went through that disaster where they didn't perform well, that FEMA may do a little bit better this time?
I'm hoping that they do. And I do know that FEMA got burned a lot. There was a lot of claims that were put in, a lot of money that went out with fraud. And I know that they didn't recoup a lot of that money that went out. So I think that they are more cautious, you know, when things like this happen. They put you through more scrutiny when you're trying to get assistance. Could be because of, you know, of Katrina and the things that's happened over the years. And I think that even when they're assisting you, and I say, you know, even the FEMA trailers, you know, when they put the people out of them, even the newer ones, they just put them all in the yard for, as if they're going to just trash them. You know, they don't let them stay in there long enough. I know for myself that FEMA was supposed to have been paying up until a year and a half of hotels, apartments, you know, assisting people, because, I mean, that was, you know, I left my job, which I also had a business on the side, but my business was a result of, you know, where I lived at. And FEMA didn't pay the apartment I was living in, and I got evicted. And that was only after a couple of months. I was maybe after 2 months after they didn't pay. I wound up getting evicted, and I didn't know nobody where I was living at. I wound up moving to Mississippi, and some, you know, people took me in. But I'm hoping that they do a whole lot better and not put people, you know, through a whole lot just to get some type of assistance. But we do have people that get over on a system that makes it harder for others.
Well, why would they, did you determine why they would recognize your need for assistance and then cut it off so quickly?
I have no idea. I didn't even, and believe it or not, because I had a computer, I did, the process for a lot of people who were in other, who had to move to Texas and other places, because I had the means to do it, and getting all of them the assistance that they needed, I wound up not getting the assistance that I needed. And I worked just as hard for me as I did for them. And I mean, I would be on the phone with FEMA 2 o'clock in the morning. People would give me all the information to work their cases for them. I mean, I did this, you know, just helping people because I was able to. And they wound up getting $10,000, you know, for loss of property and stuff. And they would say, you know, well, when we get our money, I'm going to, you know, at least send you $100. I never got a penny, which that wasn't the objective for doing it. When it came to me, I couldn't even get an SBA loan. I couldn't get, you know, the assistance that I was helping everybody else to get. And why, I have no idea.
Now, was it a nonprofit in Mississippi that assisted you, or did you have family there? How did you gain assistance?
From a church. My church family in New Orleans knew somebody, was best friends with somebody in Mississippi. And I wound up going to not the best friend church, but his in-laws church. And they had a place and put me and my children up. And that's how I wind up, you know, and from there, because and from there, I did what I knew how to do. I started sewing, and I contracted myself out to, you know, some bridal shops, and that's how I had to make it.
It is so amazing to me that sometimes we offer so much assistance in the millions and millions to other countries. Excuse me, when disasters hit, but somehow or another we find it difficult to meet the needs of our own people when we're supposedly the richest country in the world. It seems that we just have trouble with meeting the needs of our own people, and it's sad that we drop the ball when it comes to our own citizens who pay taxes during their lifetime and shouldn't have to beg for what they paid for in the past.
And that is so true. You know, we don't take care of home first, and we lack in so many areas where we are given, you know, to other countries. And we're struggling right here. That I have not been able to understand, you know, why that that, but it does. And we right here need the assistance. So that's a good question. Why is it like that?
Yeah, and we look at how hard our citizens can be on each other and want to even make it tougher for people to get assistance through food stamps and through other programs, but yet are so willing to accept us giving millions and billions to Israel and to Pakistan and other places for military reasons, but yet don't want to provide health care and college education to our own people.
Now, I haven't been able to figure that out. I still wonder why it's like that. Why we have to struggle and so many people, because I'm going to tell you, and I think a lot of what I went through as far as my health, mentally, I think it stems a lot from a result of Hurricane Katrina, because, you know, everything was taken. I mean, I lost everything in a sense, meaning I had to find my way to start over. And it's hard, you know, when I'm going to an unfamiliar place with people I don't know. You can't go to nobody in New Orleans, because everybody in New Orleans have now found places to go somewhere else, and they're looking for, you know, to start over. And it's not easy, and it's even more difficult, you know, like I said, when you get evicted or you don't have nowhere to go, you don't have a income no more, you've lost, you know, just about everything that you own, and you're starting over. So, it really, you know, and I think a lot of it with the stress, not even knowing that I was under stress, but I think it just creeped up on me. And over the years, that's where I found myself. I mean, I found myself being, you know, diagnosed with depression, anxiety, like I said, a result of trying to build back up and trying to in an unfamiliar place. So imagine what the people, you know, are going through there. I mean, I know so many people who have started over, and for them to watch, you know, especially elderly people, their whole, everything that they work for is now gone. And even to get insurance, everything took long. People who had insurance, people, you know, when FEMA did so long to get back, you know, some of the things, because you never could get back everything. And I do know that the most precious thing is life itself. But
I think, in a way, I was kind of prepared and knew to leave when I left, because this was something that God had spoke to me and told me that I was going to be moving. I was going to be under a different ministry. And here again, me, I'm arguing back and forth with God. And it's like, no, I'm fixing up the place where I'm living. I like my church I go to. And even put me on a 40-day fast. And so when the people weren't eating and drinking, I didn't drink water for 3 days, but I didn't eat for 40 days. So I went through what they went through, but I had prepared myself spiritually for what I was going through. So, I mean, when the flood happened, I was like, oh, so this is what it is. Because I was, every day I was expecting my house to burn. I didn't know exactly. He wasn't, so all I knew is that I was going to be moving and under another ministry. That's all I knew. And I didn't know because of what.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation.
Okay.
Jesus, oh Jesus.
Just a thought, James T. Deshay. The significance of our lives is found in the level of commitment we have to greatness. Our Creator has planted the only seeds we need to rise above the level of mediocrity. The world needs all of us to rise above the norm. The enemy of humanity is in the wasted greatness that resides in those that refuse to care and fertilize their personal seeds of greatness. No solutions in life's problems can be obtained without individuals being willing to bring their seeds of greatness to reality. There are too many dreams being left in the graves of the disenchanted. The joy and peace of the world should not be put at risk by our reluctance to work toward our legacies. Our families and communities need the value of all the treasures that exist within us. No blessing should remain unnurtured. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This show is here for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we do what is needed to make sure that people know what our opinions are, and this is the platform to make that possible. Please call in at 657-383-0309. Also, please visit my website at jamestdeshay2.com. That's jamesddeshay2.com. Just a Thought by James T. Deshay. There is never a perfect time to step out on faith. It would always require risking the safety of where you are at that very moment. But one will never be completely happy when their dreams are not being reached. The higher the dreams, the greater the risk. When the right opportunity makes itself available, you have to close your ears to the naysayers and move forward beyond your dreams. Visit wealthdaddysystem.com. That's www.wealthdaddysystem.com. WealthDaddySystem.com. Push yourself beyond your fears, and you'll reach your dreams. Cheryl, you had some fallout that some of the political people are really didn't fare very well. The African-American mayor of New Orleans got in a bit of trouble, and ultimately we haven't heard much from him. Do you know much about what took place related to him and how he fell out of grace?
You know, I don't want to say exactly because I don't know for sure. I was out of town at the time of everything that was going on, but I do know that it had something to do with jobs and money that wasn't on the up and up, and I do know as a result of it, he's in jail now. And the very thing that when he came into office, he arrested a group of people where, like, 5 o'clock in the morning, and you could see a whole line of them in their pajamas and everything, you know, making a sort of these people, which nothing that he did, it didn't stick. But I said that to say, you know, you can't come and do people any kind of way and look what happened to you. You know, and it's so corrupt. It's, you know, we've had quite a few officials because of, you know, during that time that wind up getting in trouble. And a lot of it had to do with giving jobs and jobs being paid for, and then, you know, somebody's not working, even the money, or certain people getting the jobs that it wasn't supposed to go to. And see, and that's the reason why I say when, you know, FEMA is doing something or the government is giving, we got so much of crookedness going on that that's what makes it harder for the next person when they need the help.
You know, it says, it's been said that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it seems like in the worst of times, the people that we feel like we should be able to count on seem to fail us and don't have the strength of faith or belief in their God to do the right thing. Why do you think it's so difficult for men who are in power to do the right thing by those that elect them?
You know, that's a good question. One of the things that came to my mind is greed. Because if they had compassion and if they were for the people, I couldn't, you know, you couldn't imagine doing some of the things that they've done. They get so caught up in the greed and the money, and not only that, they get held hostage because if they don't do certain things, people who know how they get to where they are will blow the whistle on them. So in some senses, they're being blackmailed without coming out and saying, I'm blackmailing you if you don't do certain things. And it's sad, you know, that we put people in an office and we're depending on them to help us, and then meanwhile, they let us down because of whatever the reason, greed, pride, you know, like I said, whatever it took them to get to where they are, now they're going to have to do things for people that got them there. So it's corruption. It's a lot of corruption.
And we always know that there are going to be things going on in our society that we need good leadership. You know, you think about how the weather can be disastrous, how in Michigan, where Flint, Michigan, where the government turned its back on the people and literally didn't seem to care about the water they were drinking. And it just seems like it goes on and on and on that people are at the mercy of their government, and the government just don't seem to be able to let go of their past commitments to the rich and take care of the needs of the poor.
So right. And the poor is wind up struggling even more so because, you know, with people dying, people getting sick, you know, from the water and everything from Flint. And then, you know, to say after they did a few things that the water was going to be okay. No, all of those pipes needed to be replaced. And, you know, it wasn't going to happen. So they weren't going to receive the water that they should have been getting. And like I said, I just can't get over how corrupt people could be, you know, and forsake lives. And I mean, people were dying, people were getting sick, people were, I think it might have been Steve Harvey had a program one time where one lady brought her water and one lady brought all her hair that had been fell out. You know, people on oxygen machines. All these different things as a result. Nobody wanted to take a bath. Nobody wants, you know, I mean, if you don't drink the water, that's one thing. But then how much water you going to have for each person every time they take a bath? And that water gets into the pores of their skin. So, we are electing people in office that's really not there for us. That, you know, we elect them and they wind up turning their backs on us. And it's, what can we do? Because they have a good, their story is good, their speech is good, what they're going to do sounds good. But then once they get in office, and, you know, sometimes I think once they get in office, they don't realize that they're answering to somebody else that's dictating to them, oh, you thought you was going to do this, but no, this is the way it goes here. You should have thought about that before you came into office. That's what be running through my mind now. You know, that's what goes through my mind. That
And when you see good, decent people who refuse to run for office because they don't want to get caught up into all that turmoil, and you recognize that you don't want to change the decent person you are by getting caught up into all that, false way of thinking, you know, the fraud and the corruption that exists, when we know that the government doesn't seem to be empathetic to the lives of the people who are really fighting to live their lives in a decent manner.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, we think that we are electing the best person into office, and really once they step into office is that they don't do the things that they say they're going to do. And not because they didn't have the intentions, but they don't know how it works once they get in office. Is that, oh, no, you know, somebody that you're going to answer to, and we don't do it like this, you know. And at that point, they feel stuck in the position. But some kind of way, I think I would have to resign. I don't know what it would be because of, but I would have to resign. I'm sorry, because I don't think that, you know, I could sleep. And some of them can't. And I know they can't because of the things that they have to go along with. So, and I know we have, I think even when I was gone, Jefferson went to jail. Quite a few that held office in New Orleans went to jail. But who is the big guys that really not going to jail? I mean, they taking the fall for all of this, but somebody's not going to jail. Somebody's not answering to it, because every time somebody get in office, the same things happen over and over. But I'm just hoping that that Texas do get the help that they need, because I know their lives are changed.
Yeah, it seems to be a lot of flooding there, and hopefully FEMA will be able to come in and do the right thing and help people get back to where they were. I know that they say there are still places in New Orleans that have not recovered. And we act as though we're a third world country sometimes in terms of that, but we're so ready and prepared, as I said, to go other places. We're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation.
You looked inside my fantasies and made each one true, something no one else had ever found a way to do. I've kept the memories one by one, since you took me in. I know I'll never love this way again.
Just a Thought by James T. Deshaies. The destination of one's life is not determined by where they are, but by where their heart is determined to go. It is important to look past the present and dream about your future. The value of your internal spirit remains the same throughout your life. Once you take your first breath, the measure of your future is unlimited. You only need to take one positive step after the other to get out of your present situation. Always know that there is a helping hand prepared to assist you along the way. Keep your head and your eyes facing forward to see the hearts of those ahead of you. The path they suggest will always be better than the issues that are behind you. The Creator that protects us all will never move from where you last left Him. He is patiently waiting for your return. God invested in you from the outset, and now it is time for your value to rise. Don't doubt that which has been there from the beginning, your ability to turn your dreams into reality. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, the radio show where your voice needs to be heard. The show is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. Please visit my website, JamesTDeshaies2.com. That's JamesTDeshaies2.com. Also consider purchasing both my books, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. They can be purchased at my website or at lulu.com. That's lulu.com. I look forward to you being a part of my audience. Call in every day at 657-383-0309.
Help your children and don't let them fall by the side of the road. And teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their heart. 'Cause Jesus is love. He won't let you down, and I know we've got to walk on, walk on through temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth, and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and glad that Jesus is mine.
Yes, you know, it's a sad thing that we have seemingly taken away from our children that which would give them strength to fight against the evils of our society, because we don't let them learn about humanity and learn about life and how to care about people and be proud of their existence. We're not giving them the tools to show empathy. We just allow them to get caught up in their own self-indulgenceness and don't help them to understand that it's better to give than to receive. That was kind of pounded in our heads as young people, that it was better to give than to receive, and to be empathetic to people who were going through things, and to help people through to live life better by us being rewarding them through our efforts to show them some sympathy. But a lot of the sympathy seems to be lost, Cheryl.
Oh, yes, it is. It is. You know, I think that the dollar has taken over a lot. And I mean, in so many areas now, we just don't care about people no more. People don't value other people, and they don't value lives. And money, I mean, money is ruling. It definitely is. It's high up there. And I mean, people are not. They trying to get it at any means that they possibly could. And you know, without thinking that one day they will get caught, that it only lasts for so long. But look at the amount of people that's hurt in the process of them getting what they want. I mean, I've seen lately with doctors with the Medicaid fraud. You know, we heard was the Bernie Madoff with taking a lot of people retirement, their money, just at our local level, you know, level, the government taking money, how doctors do, you know, diagnose patients that have things that they really don't have, and we can't, we don't know that we don't have it. I mean, people are doing everything, everything and anything to get money. And the sad thing about it is what they don't realize, it will catch up with them at some point. I don't care how many years down the line, they will get caught.
Yeah, it's sad to see. You know, I was so thankful that Barack Obama and Michelle got through their 8 years without any scandal that would have caused them some major trouble. And it was just thankful to have them and to have a family that exhibited so much loyalty and commitment. I mean, from the grandmother who came to live to help with the kids, to kids who got through the 8 years without any true scandal about them on a personal level. And that Barack and Michelle came out of that so unscathed. And I, you know, we have to thank God that they did, because I don't know how we're in a terrible place now, but I don't know how terrible place we would have been if something would have happened to the light that they shined for us for 8 years.
Oh, yes. And, you know, and we always have to pray for our people that are in office. And I am so thankful as well that they came out shining. You know, that Michelle was a fine example, first lady that showed compassion and was very involved with people on a people level, not on a level where she thought she was more than them. And also with President, you know, Obama, I mean, he was on top of, you know, he showed compassion when things occurred, when the shootings, when, you know, lives were lost. I mean, he was there. I mean, we always heard from him. And we saw the compassion. We saw, you know, the emotions and how he felt about the things that were going on. So, you know, I thank God as well that they were able to do the 8 years and, like you said, not come out with any scandals or anything. And that's big. That is huge. And especially, you know, for our people to do that and to come out like that. You know, we got to applaud them. We have to applaud them.
And it's going to be needed for us to kind of band together as a whole country to get ourselves back, because we've lost our footing. Even with what they accomplished, we still lost our footing and lost our commitment to one another. You know, it's like somebody is just determined to swing the pendulum backwards, where we go back to an ugly time where people just did not appreciate each other. And, you know, now the division seems to be getting greater, and which is going to hurt the country as a whole, because when we're not committed, we can't deal with the tragedies that exist. You know, when we can't come together on the little issues, you know we're going to have trouble coming together on the big issues, if indeed Texas needs us to be humane about the way we give them assistance.
You are so right. I mean, I don't even know And all we can do is, and not talk about praying, but actually do. Because, you know, that's just like, oh, I'm thinking about you. And that's just the words, but actually doing it, actually being a part of it. And even if we know somebody that have lost anything, you know, a little bit will help. You know, it won't make or break us. We so tight, we got our hands closed so tight, not wanting to help each other, and that nothing is going out, but nothing is coming in. And we couldn't, you know, and I say this about me. For as many years as I have not had, I have never been without. Even during my struggle times, God has always made a way. I can remember times that I've given my last, and no sooner before that night was over with that I got. And we just don't trust. We don't trust and believe, you know, in his word that he will provide, that he will do what he said he will do. He will take care of us. We so scared that we not going to have it. Till we don't have trust and we don't have faith and we're not willing to help each other, you know, because we still trying to hold on to everything that we have. And we can't take it with us. And, I mean, you know, we don't realize where our blessings will come from when we help somebody else. Gotten away from, you know, a lot of those things. We just don't do things like we used to. And I understand that, you know, it's hard to trust people today, which it really is. But even on the levels that we can do something that we don't have to be that involved, we don't even do that no more.
Well, let's take another short break and we'll end the show and just talk about where we need to go. We'll be right back.
Okay.
would ever be without your love. Never imagined I'd be sitting here beside myself. Cause I didn't know you, cause I didn't know me, but I thought I knew everything. I never
another show, and we kind of did it all by ourselves. I don't know where our family is, but we got through it, and it's always nice to have your support and be able to talk about the kind of things that we need to discuss so that people understand that we, you know, we got to get back to the values that we've had over the years where we went to church, we understood how to treat one another, and we just could get back to our morals and our values. As we end the show, you know, what do you think we should be doing to try to get back to a time where we cared about our neighbors, we cared about our community, and we looked out for one another, and we didn't have the same depth of division that seems to be raising its ugly head right now?
Well, you just said it. That we need to start coming together. Those of us who, you know, who is ever not in church, get in church or get involved in some of the community things, and it may be in volunteering. Be givers. Get back, you know, in the neighborhoods. Find out what's going on. You know, there's a lot of things in the neighborhood that needs our help that we are not even, we're so busy being busy with our own lives that we don't even know what's going on around us. And if we don't start getting involved, then all we doing is talking. So we got to become more involved. We got to, being involved will allow us to be able to care about what we're being involved in. And participate in some things, do some things that we haven't done. You know, there's a lot of different charity things that's going on that need our dollars. Meaning, you know, somebody may have a gala They may have, you know, just some things where we can go and enjoy ourselves, but also be a helper because we are buying something from there or we bring in somebody. Take the time out and talk to somebody, you know, and especially to our young people because they are the ones, our future generation, those are the ones that's going to be leading us. And so it's so many different things that we can do, but we just got to start doing something.
And you're right, and we have to show some kind of leadership for our youth so that they understand and recognize that we have to be a more caring people, more caring America, caring about all races, all religions, and not looking to divide ourselves in order to try to raise one race above the other, or one religion above the other. We have to come together as a family and recognize that there is not going to be any greatness amongst us if we refuse to care about each other. I want to just thank you, Cheryl, for being here. Do you have a last word? We're in the last 7 minutes. Why don't you give your last word and we'll go off with some music.
Well, I definitely appreciate the opportunity to be here. The platform has allowed me to participate into subjects that I was not aware of or did not discuss on a daily basis. It's brought a lot of awareness to go out and share with other people. It's given me the opportunity to be able to do some things that that I never even thought about, and also brought me together with a group of people, beautiful people that I would have never met, and that I enjoy, you know, being here on this platform. And I appreciate you because you have given everybody this opportunity to be here on a daily basis and to be able to touch and talk about things that we would normally not even talk about. And not only talk about it, but to be able to take it off of this platform and to be able to share it with others, but mainly to be doers of what we are talking about. So I appreciate
you. Yeah, Cheryl, we have to talk about what's happening, because if we don't talk about it, we'll go deeply into the mired area that we find ourselves in now. You know, we have allowed ourselves to get so separated from what our purpose is that people like Donald Trump can get involved and get leadership and to help other ugliness to arise. We will be here tomorrow at on Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, where we allow your voice to be heard loud and clear. Take care, everybody, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
Goodbye. Good night.
Bye.
Don't worry. I won't hurt you. I only want you to have some fun.